This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Bismillah ta'ala. The last of the steps in the format that we have been talking about, which is the issue of critical thinking and analysis. We said there are three steps. First one is to be in the experience fully and entirely so that you collect the right data. Second one is to reflect and introspect. And we looked at what are the factors involving these two things. The third one, and that is the final one and the most important one, which is action. So you were in experience, you gathered the data, you reflected on it, analyzed it, drew some lessons from that, and then act on those lessons. The Quran is full of this reinforcement on action. It's full of reminders that we need to act. That is the most critical aspect of most critical aspect of Islam, which is the issue of acting on what we learn. To give you two examples, one from the Quran and one from the Seerah. In the Quran, if you take Surah, yesterday we read in the Taraweeh, Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The mu'mineen have succeeded. And then if you see the rest of the ayat, all the way down to هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, the end, all of those ayat have to do with action. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ and. Right? What did they do with zakat? What did they do with guarding their chastity, and so on and so on and so on, all the way down to the issue of successful, being successful. And Allah says, these are the people who are the inheritors of Jannah. Right? Warith. Because that's their right. Right? It's the warith gets, like we saw Marana's bayan yesterday in a different context, where he talked about the issue of warasa. And one of the things he said, the principle of Sharia is that you cannot make wasiya for the waris. Because the waris, he is supposed to get that. So you can't make wasiya for someone for whom it is his right by the Sharia. Whether you like the person, you don't like the person, if he is a son or a daughter and so on among the list of waratha, then this person will get the inheritance irrespective. And therefore, you cannot now make a wasiya also for him. No, the wasiya is for people who normally will not inherit. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah could have said, I will give them Jannah. In which case, it is not our right. Yeah, Allah will give. If he wishes, he will give. If he doesn't wish, he does not give. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, I will give. He said, this is their wirasat. They will get. They are supposed to get. That is their right. Who's right? The people who do all these actions. Another example of this from the Sunnah and Seerah is when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen as the governor. And he said, the first thing is, invite them towards Allah. La ilaha illallah. And the minute they accept that, what is the next thing? Salah. Action. And then what is the next thing? He said, take from their rich and return to their poor. Zakat. So again, action. If you see in the modern context today, one of the most successful ideologies that is propagated all over the world is the Hindu ideology through the means of yoga. Right? And my assessment is, the reason why it is so successful is because yogic teachers spend the minimal amount of time on theory and maximum amount of time on action. You go to a yoga class, he will spend maybe 2% 2 minutes talking about what is yoga, right? He, most of the time he will not talk about that also. He will say, please sit like this, close your eyes, keep your hands like this, take a breath through one nostril, out through another nostril. Immediately there is action. From the word go, there is action, right? He hasn't even told why this, why that, why left, why left. You just do it first. So now after he sits there quietly, he is breathing anyway. I mean, if he's sitting there quietly, obviously some effect is there on the body. Then he says, okay, now how do you feel? He says, ah, mashallah, I feel very nice. Ah, this is yoga. नहीं मैं कह रहा हूँ अगर आपको गुलाब जामुन के फजाइल बयान किए जाए 3 घंटे तक तो उससे आपको क्या आपको पता लगेगा और वो गुलाब जामुन आपके मुंह में डाल दिया जाए तो 1 सेकंड में पता लग जाएगा. सो यू आर गोइंग टू सिट एंड टॉक अबाउट द बेनिफिट्स ऑफ गुलाब जामुन फॉर 3 hours, इट मेक्स नो सेंस, राइट? बट इफ यू जस्ट पुट द गुलाब जामुन इन द माउथ, इज नोज इंस्टेंटली हाउ स्वीट इट टेस्ट एंड हाउ नाइस इट इज एंड सो ऑन. एंड दिस इज द ब्यूटी ऑफ इस्लाम एंड दिस इज वॉट द सहाबा डिड. सी, आई मीन, इफ यू सी the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the Quran, right? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put them to action. There was no, I mean, at least from whatever I have read of the seerah, I mean, except for one instance where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed Dhuhr and then he started speaking, and this is the long hadith relating to the last signs of the last day. And then he spoke until Asr, he prayed Asr, he spoke until Maghrib, and so it is a very long, maybe 2-3 hours or more. But other than that, even the khutbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were very short. Right? Allah Alam, I don't think in the seerah it does not say how many minutes and so on. Obviously there was no one there with a stopwatch. But if you think about it and if you read the khutbah, how long does it take to say that? You know? So maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. I mean, there is no instance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever giving a khutbah, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours. He never did that. Right? But today we are a people of speech. Guftar ke ghazi hai, kirdar ke ghazi nahi hai. Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi is the ashar, you know, he says this is the change, right? We are the victors of speech. We are not the victors actually in the field, right? And that's why we are backwards. I mean, if the victory has to be in the field, not by talking about victory, right? Maulana Umar Sahab Palanpur rahmatullah alayhi used to say ke kaam karne se hota hai. काम के बारे में बात करने से काम नहीं होता. इसे काम करने से होता है. सो इसे वर्क हैपन्स इफ यू वर्क, राइट? रिजल्ट्स कम बिकॉज ऑफ वर्क. रिजल्ट्स डू नॉट कम बिकॉज ऑफ टॉकिंग अबाउट वर्क. नाउ ऑब्वियसली सम अमाउंट ऑफ टीचिंग हैज टू बी डन. सो योर इश्यू ऑफ यू नो दर्स एंड दुरूस एंड सो ऑन एंड सो फोर्थ इज इंपॉर्टेंट. बट एंड ऑफ द डे देयर हैज टू बी एक्शन. Take the Tablighi Jamaat for example. One of the, great secret, the biggest secret of the success of the Tablighi Jamaat. Many people criticize. You know, first of all, nobody is free from faults. So any criticism will be true to some extent. And second thing is, people will criticize anything. Forget that. The point is that they are successful. Why? Because straightforward action. Right? You come to one bayan. Right. Baat samajh mein aa gayi? Theek hai. Ab likhai, naam likhai. You understand? You understood what was said? The importance of dawah? Yes? Alright, so now give your name. Right? 4 months, one month, chilla, whatever, 40 days, 3 days. Right? Immediate action. Immediate. It's not a question of saying, mashallah, mashallah, oh, mashallah, what a beautiful bayan, alhamdulillah. You know, may Allah give you more izzat, maulana, and then you go home and back to square one, nothing has changed in life. This is not, that's why it is not effective, right? But for it to be effective, must be action. And therefore, if you look at our lives also, alhamdulillah, in this month, and we are coming now closer, inshallah, another 3-4 days, and we will be in the last 10 days of Ramadan. How Ramadan flies, eh? Subhanallah, it seems like just yesterday we were thinking, did we sight the moon? We didn't sight the moon. Our normal pre-Ramadan and post-Ramadan controversies. One is over, next one will be coming now at the time of Eid. Eh? But now 15 days gone, right? Another 3-4 days, we are in the last Ashara. And for those of us, inshallah, who are able to make itikaf. May Allah give us the tawfiq and the ability for all of us to make itikaf. This is a very beautiful time. 10 days you spend in the house of Allah as a guest of Allah. Right? And Allah does not call to take, Allah calls to give. So if Allah has called you into His house, He calls you to give. So come into His house and take whatever you want. Right? That's the whole purpose of itikaf, is what? Take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq. Now my point is that let us spend that time in reflection and thinking that this is what I have learned about myself in life. Now, going from now onwards, how must my life change? What must I do differently? Because if there is no action at the end of understanding, then there is no sense in that. No point in saying, I understood. Understood to do what? Right? You understood the importance of Salah, and then if that understanding of importance of Salah, if it cannot wake you up in the morning to come for Salat al-Fajr to the masjid, then it's a waste of time. Right? What did you understand? There's no sense in understanding. But if you understand the meaning and the value of Salah, and then that brings you into the masjid in the morning for Salat al-Fajr, then alhamdulillah, that is beneficial. And so also it applies to everything else in life, whether it is, I'm giving the example of religion, because religion is the peak of the matter, that is the head of the matter, that's the most important thing. But it applies also to everything else in life. You learn something about communication, for example, how you deal with people, and then if you don't apply that in life, then what is the point of learning that? So we have to apply that. I learned this about communication, this is what I apply. I learned this about making a timetable for myself, this is how I will apply it. This is how I make my life more productive, by structuring my time. Not people say there's no barakah in time today. The time is the same 24 hours. How is there no barakah? The Rasulullah or people before that or after that, nobody had even 1 second more, and you don't have 1 second less. So how, why is it there's no barakah in you? There's no barakah in the time because we don't structure time. So it passes. Even in those days, there were people who probably had no barakah in their time because they were not structuring the time. Everybody was not the same. But if you structure the time, there is plenty of barakah. Even today, believe me, you can do a lot. You can achieve a very great deal. Right? If you structure your time. If you don't structure your time, then that's up to you. In the last 1 year, not even 1 year, but I think last 8-9 months, I have written 3 books. All 3 will be published in the next month or so. And that delay is not because of me. It's because of the publisher and, you know, whoever is doing it. In addition to everything else which I did, including travel internationally, including, I don't know, Allah knows how many speeches and, you know, whatever else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the work. But that is because of structuring of time. I know what time I will get up. I know what I'm doing at which time. I know where I'm going, why I'm going. And also, I know why I am not going to some places, why I do not participate in certain functions, why I don't go to this party or that party, because it's the same 24 hours, you got to find the time from somewhere. Right? So if you're going to spend it in sitting in some place and talking some, you know, may not be haram, obviously, inshallah, but it's also not useful thing. It's not doing you any benefit. Then that time goes from something which could have been spent more usefully. So we have to make sure we do some changes, right? So alhamdulillah, but if we do that, there is no issue. There is plenty of barakah in time. So that, my point is, we'll close with that, which is that end of the day, no matter how much we know, what we do is what counts. And as they say, a picture is worth 1,000 words, but an action is worth 1,000,000. It's much more powerful than a picture, is the actual action. And that is what brought people to Islam. It was the actions of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi majmain. It was not bayans, it was not taqarir, it was not, you know, theological discourses on this aspect of fiqh or that aspect of fiqh. The Sahaba were not involved in all of these things. They just lived their lives, and the way they lived their life was so beautiful that people entered Islam. Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi, the ustad of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, Imam Zuhri says, Islam spread the fastest after Fatah Makkah, because for the first time, the non-Muslim was able to see the life of an ordinary Muslim. You see the words of Imam Zuhri. He did not say that for the first time, the non-Muslim could attend a bayan by so and so. No. He said, he didn't even say the non-Muslim was able to see the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, he said the non-Muslim was able to see the life of an ordinary Muslim. The shopkeeper, the shepherd, the, you know, farmer and so on. But those were the main professions in those days. You didn't have doctors and engineers. But that same shepherd, that same farmer, that same shopkeeper who I'm seeing on a daily basis, that person's life was such, his actions were such, his speech was such, his maashara was such, his society that he lived in was such, that it attracted people. And people came to Islam. Nobody was forced. Who was forcing anybody? No one went with a sword to forcibly convert anyone either in Arabia or anywhere else. People came because they liked what they saw. You cannot change a belief by force. Maybe you can change external appearance by force, but you can't change a belief by force. The belief has to change from inside. And that happens always, always, always. Whether somebody enters Islam or somebody leaves Islam. Both are voluntary actions. One of the things that Heraclius asked Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu before he became Muslim, the famous meeting of Heraclius and Abu Sufyan. One of the things Heraclius asked Abu Sufyan was, two things he asked him. He said, is his religion spreading? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan said yes. Next question he asked him is, does anyone who enters his religion, does he leave it? Abu Sufyan said no. Today how many people are becoming murtad? Every day. How many people are leaving Islam today? Every single day. Why? Same Islam. At least supposed to be the same Islam. Something is wrong with our actions. This is the problem. Even if people come into Islam for whatever reason, in some cases they find that the actions of the person, the Muslim that they deal with, are so bad that they say, I'm sorry, I think I made a mistake. No, why did I enter this religion? The most famous incidents about this are with respect to Muslims marrying non-Muslims. I have heard innumerable cases of Muslim men, and mostly it is Arab men, or it's men from this part of the world, the subcontinent, Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi and so on, who go to the West and who marry non-Muslim women. They marry in Europe, or they marry in Africa, or wherever, they marry non-Muslim women, and then they ill-treat them so much. The woman married him, came into Islam, accepted Islam, she was a good Muslim, she tried to practice Islam, but she was ill-treated so much that she became murtad, she left him and she left Islam. I mean, I know some cases where, I tell you seriously, we have to, and this shows the truth of the deen. I've known cases where the woman divorced the man, but she did not leave Islam. I mean, you have to, I don't know what to say, maybe these women will be among the awliya of Allah. You know, after being ill-treated, and so on and so forth, she said, no, nothing, this is the man is bad, the religion is good, alhamdulillah, and she stays with the religion. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the highest darajat, and include them among his awliya, inshallah. Right? But what do you say about the man? I mean, what kind of a lousy Muslim is that, who the woman comes into his marriage, she is sharing her life with him, and he ill-treats her to the extent where she leaves him and she leaves Islam. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. I mean, you have to seriously think, what Islam is this? What Islam is this? This is Islam. If this is Islam, then nobody would have become Muslim. If this was how the Sahaba behaved, then today Islam would have been wiped out long ago. There would be no sign of Islam. And maybe you would have read in your history book, once upon a time there was a man called Muhammad and he brought a religion and it disappeared. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. There are Muslims because of the behavior, because of what we do, our actions. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us concentrate on actions. Let us talk less and act more. And whatever we speak and whatever we hear, always let's ask the question, okay, I heard this lecture, okay, I spoke something, where is it in my action? Yesterday, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and reward he came here yesterday, he gave a beautiful lecture, and I was telling Malana Adam Sahib how his way of explaining, really like a teacher, he's like a mudaris, mashallah. You listen to his lecture, it's so beautiful, it's so systematic, it's so easy to understand. We heard the lecture, alhamdulillah, now we have to think and say, okay, this is what he explained about the importance of hadith, how do I implement it in my life? If this is the importance of hadith, how am I implementing it in my life? And that applies to everything, right? We just sitting and listening to something and going away, As I always say, you know, Sunni Musalman, sunke sund ho gaya. No asar kuch nahi hota hai, bas sun liya ek kaan se, suna ek kaan se, ud gaya, khatam ho gaya. No, that is not the purpose of that, right? We have to listen and we must act. And if we listen to 20 things and we act even on one, alhamdulillah. You don't have to act on all 20. But you have to at least minimum, make this a rule for yourself. If I every single lesson or talk or lecture, whatever I go to, at least one thing out of that I will take and implement in my life. Leave the others. Doesn't matter. Forget that. Nobody can do everything. Leave everything. Just take one. You take one, whichever you like. Take one and bring it into your life. Inshallah. But anyway, Jazakum Allahu Khairan. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.